This is Border Crossings, radio's number one request hour. And now, your host, Larry London.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Welcome to the Voice of America. We have a great show for you today. Merry Christmas. And for our special Christmas show today, we are going to be bringing you George Thorogood. As we celebrate the Christmas Eve together, George Thorogood is one of the rock stars, rock pioneers from the last 20, 30 years or so. In fact, he marked his 40th anniversary not too long ago on one of his earlier albums, which is called Bad to the Bone. And 1982, that album was out. It won all kinds of awards and a lot of attention for George Thorogood. And he's going to be joining us on the program today, talking about the new live album, about his career, and all of his hits over the years. So hang around with us here on Border Crossings as we bring you a special holiday program. It's George Thorogood here on Border Crossings.
Yeah.
We're talking on the phone. We've got George Thorogood on the other line. Hello, George Thorogood.
Hello, Larry London.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice of America. Welcome to 100 countries around the world and 275 million people who are all fans of rock and roll music. And of course, George Thorogood has given us 40 plus years of great rock and roll music. We welcome you to the Voice of America, and I want to say happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
And I know that your career includes, what is it, if I'm not mistaken, over 20 albums?
I think that'd be a fair estimate. I kind of 40 years is a long time, Larry London.
Yes, it is. It's a long time for anything.
I can't imagine how somebody like the Rolling Stones or Bob Dylan can keep track of how many albums they've put out.
That's true. That's true.
You
did go on tour with the Rolling Stones, if I'm not mistaken.
We did some engagements with them, yes.
And I know that
I won't say legitimately we went on tour with them. They generally in those days we played with them. They didn't, you know, pick one act and they stuck it out the whole tour. Mm-hmm. It was kind of spot things. We did a few here, a few there, a few here, a few there. Mm-hmm. I think we did about 16 shows in all.
Hmm. And I know that, you know, these days I believe you're living in Boston, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you are mistaken.
I am. Okay, where are you living these days? Where does George Thorogood get his mail?
Larry, I swear under oath with the government not to give the whereabouts of my location. You know, when you're a fugitive from injustice, man, you got to be careful.
Well, you started off in Delaware anyway. That much is known. That much we can tell the public. And up until this past election, you were the most famous Delawarean.
Well, you know, President-elect Joe Biden is the Delaware representative, but he's actually from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
So,
as far as, you know, a Delaware guy, you mm-hmm. know, that's who he represents. Mm-hmm. So you call it like you see it, okay?
Now, you started back in high school doing this rock and roll thing. And you put, your band together, the Destroyers, with some of your friends from high school. Did you have a band name in the high school? Were you called the Destroyers back when you started? Or what was the name of your group then?
No, not even anything close. Sorry. Hey, listen, after the Beatles and the Rolling Stones went on the Ed Sullivan Show, everybody was in a band in high school. Okay. No. That was like standard stuff, you know. It was like, you know, watching a World Series and everybody went out and bought a baseball bat. I mean, it was not the Destroyers. I wasn't playing any guitar in those days. And I fronted a band that was doing a pretty, pretty lame, poor imitation of the Rolling Stones or the Yardbirds or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, that kind of faded out. And, you know, then years later, I was out of high school and I said, man, if you're going to do your music thing, man, you better get moving because you're not getting any younger here. So I kind of just sat around for a couple of years watching live acts and thinking, well, when are you going to get this thing going? You know, so I had a guitar in the closet and I started banging away on it. And a couple of notes came out of it. And some people said, hey, that sounds pretty good. Why don't you stay with the guitar? So I did. And at that time, in vogue, there were acts like Bonnie Raitt was just getting started with her slide guitar. And there was the Allman Brothers who played slide. There was John Hammond, Johnny Winter, and Elvin Bishop. And I thought, well, maybe there's a market for me to do. If I can put a little trio together and pick the right tunes, maybe I can get a shot at the opening act with some mm-hmm. of these people. When we first played together, Ron and Jeff and I, what we wanted to do, we wanted to be Chuck Berry's backup band. Because in those days, Chuck's backup bands left a little bit to be desired. Actually, left a lot to be desired. So we wanted to do that, and that didn't work out. So I wanted to be the opening act for Can Heat. That didn't work out. You know, I had made a record, and I blew it.
Wasn't there a time when Chuck Berry he didn't have a backup band? He'd kind of show up and use a house band and just plug in and play and leave?
That's what he was doing ever since I saw him back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and that was the situation with him at that time, yes.
Yeah, I loved his music, I also lived in Boston for a little while myself, and it's a great musical city, a lot of culture there as well. Now, was it always pardon?
There is no Boston.
Well, that's true, but there's a Framingham, and that's where I lived. So yeah, but there's
okay,
because kind of
we lived in Brighton, Austin. Is there such a place?
Yes,
Brighton,
yes.
Austin.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, we lived in, so there was all these places we went around and said, where is Boston? There's Revere and Lynn, Swampscott and Watertown and Brighton, Austin, uh-huh. and Cambridge. And I'm going, where is Boston? I think you gotta walk down Commonwealth Avenue and stand outside Fenway Park. I think that's the one section of Boston. it's like LA is like that. You
that's
know what I mean?
True.
You're saying, well, where is the city of Boston? I want to know.
Well, it is.
I
a
lived
great
there
place.
And I couldn't find it, Larry.
Yeah. Well, it inspired a lot of other great bands. You know, Aerosmith and the Standells and quite a few others along the way who've come out of the area of Boston. Of course, the band Boston came out of Boston, but George Thorogood is one of the great rock pioneers who started off, as I mentioned, 40 years ago. We're closing in. We're pretty close to 50 years pretty soon in this business. So what do you think has been the one thing that has helped to shape you to who you are today? I mean, what's been your greatest influence over the years? Because you stayed true to the George Thorogood blues rock style of music that you have, but what was the greatest influence you've had over the years?
Well, wait a minute, the greatest influence, or that's a little tricky. Well, I had many influences. The main influence was I didn't know how to work, Larry. I tried that and I wasn't any good at it. You know, I tried all sorts of different jobs, and you know, my parents came to me one day and I was laying on the couch with a hangover as usual. And they came downstairs and they put their hands in the air and they looked at me and they said one word, Larry. He said, when? Meaning, when are you? My parents said, George, you dress like a rock star. You live like a rock star. You think you are a rock star. When are you going to go out and be a rock star? And then my mom chimed and said, well, George, you know you can't work. And, you know, she wasn't saying it to be unkind. Mm-hmm. They were saying, well, you know, this is the only option for you because it's your passion and it's the only thing you know anything about. And then I said, but Mom and Dad, I can't play. And they said, well, that's a small issue to get over. they said, you got all the other stuff going for you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the last thing is, you know, learn to play a little bit. You know, you'll get there in time, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was a big push for me to get my butt in gear. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You just can't lay on the couch when you're 19 or 20 years old and think Capitol Records is going to knock on the door and say, hey, you look like a really cool guy. You want a record deal? You know, that don't work that way. I thought it did, but it didn't. So
was it always music for you? I mean, did you know this early on?
I knew when I was 15 years old when I first started performing, Larry. I wasn't that good at it, but I knew this was my calling, and so did my parents. It's just that I kind of got sidetracked and stalled after high school. I was real gung-ho about it then, but then after that, I kind of slacked off for a while, and I started getting really discouraged. When I heard The Who and Led Zeppelin and Creedence Clearwater and, you know, Hendrix, The Doors, and I said, my God, Frank Zappa, these are monster musicians. This is a great, how in the hell am I ever going to break into this thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I started checking out bands, Savoy Brown, Can He, like I said, Elvin Bishop, people like that. I said, I think I might be able to do that. Mm-hmm. If there's a chance, there's hope. Forget about, you know, Roger Daltrey and Rod Stewart and, you know, Dylan, all those guys, what they did. You can't touch those people. Forget it, man. They're just, you know, they're like the Joe DiMaggio's and, you know, Babe Ruth's of music. I said, yeah, but there's nine places on the field. I could bat ninth.
aim high, George.
Yeah, well, I did. That was, for me, that was aiming high. Because in our day, we anybody who you went to a show, and if there was a cover charge and a dressing room and you're on a record label, you had made it. That was, you know, it didn't matter how big the label was or how big the venue was, or even if you were playing, you know, the opening act or whatever. you know, to when you're on the inside of this thing in any profession, you say there's, you got to really pick your spot. I wasn't aiming low. I was aiming accurately.
Okay. Well, you mentioned, you know, you made it. What was the moment in your career that you knew you made it? When was that time that you said, oh, you know, I am something. I got something going here.
When someone took some bootleg tapes of mine and tried to put them out without my consent, and they tried to sue me. Now everybody in the neighborhood said, now you know you made it. if you're famous enough, when someone wants to rip you off or sue you, because that means there's some money there.
Now, looking at your career, would you say that 1982 was one of the highlights for your year? Because you've just put out a new album, Live in Boston, 1982, which was recorded in Boston. And that was also the year that you had Bad to the Bone out. So would you say that was kind of like a big year of in a page from your career book?
Well, you high water mark, you would say. You know, it's funny, Larry London. I never thought of it as a career. I thought of it as my job. I'm an entertainer. I don't think you know you got a career till your career is over. You look back and say, "Oh, I had a career." Mm-hmm. But that time in '82, there was things happening that were very good for us. It was the infancy of MTV, and that was just getting started around '81, and we got a video on there in '82 with the song Bad to the Bone and Nobody But Me, which was on the album Bad to the Bone. So that was a big break there. That was huge, actually, because at that time they were running MTV 24 hours, no commercials, and I watched it, and they had a bigger demand than they did supply. And they were showing all sorts of stuff then. And I said, we got to get in on this thing before they slam the door and say, okay, we have enough acts doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was probably key to it, for making more people aware of our act.
In wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts. I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Bad. Rich woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad. 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 satisfied. I want to tell you, pretty baby, what I see I make my own. And I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Bad. Bad.
And why a live album now? Why decide this is the right time to put out a live album? You're probably misperforming live, I'm sure, with the pandemic and whatnot. So.
I don't know. I don't know why it's being done, actually. I'll have to ask somebody because it's being put out by Rounder Records, and our manager, Adam Condi, is very hot on this idea. It didn't come from me. Let's put it that way. They had put out a record live in Boston. Then they had the entire show that night. They said, we want to put out something that's the entire concert. So I'm not going to say no to Rounder Records. They're big league hitters now. They're a big label. And I said, well, it's time for us to release something. It's been a while since the Destroyers released anything. I mean, Party of One was years ago. Yep. When I played a solo record. So you got to put out something about every 18 months or at least every 2 years to, you know, keep your face familiar, you know, in the public eyes. And there's so many people playing anymore, Larry. You don't keep up with it, man. You can disappear overnight.
Mm-hmm. I found it interesting.
Talking about the Stones or McCartney or those kind of people. They're never going to go away.
I found it interesting that you put out a solo album for the first time a few years ago. Is there a chance of more solo music? I know you did another album with the Destroyers after that, but what about the solo stuff?
I look at it this way. If you're still breathing, anything's possible.
Well, that's good to know. So, I mean, bad to the
bone.
If they
came back to me, I mean, it depends on this too. I mean, if a label came back and said, we had relatively success with this and we'd like you to do another one, well, that's when you start getting serious about it. You know, if the demand comes in, then you say, okay, well, all right, let me put my head together and see if I can pull this off again.
Right.
But anything's possible. I say that. That's, you know.
Is Bad to the Bone the biggest crowd response? Is that's the encore song? You save that to the end?
It's right up there. It's there's a couple others that run neck and neck with it. We got lucky with Bourbon Scott.
Right. Who Do You Love is one of my favorites that you do. You got a lot of big hits.
They're big hits, but they're songs that connected with our audience. Get a Haircut and I Drink Alone go over very well. Mm-hmm. We get good response out of those tunes. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was after Bad to the Bone, and Bad, the song was saying to us, hey, listen, fellas, I can't carry the load the whole way. You got to come up with some more tunes. You know, I can't, you know. I had somebody come up to me, Larry London, once years ago, and I guess that song is the most, you know, high profile tune of our repertoire. And this cat said, hey, man, how does it feel to be a one hit wonder? And I said, partner, better than being a no hit wonder.
Well, you're obviously much bigger than that. I mean, all the great songs, No Particular Place to Go. I love your version of that, the Chuck Berry hit. And so many other songs that you've done over the years. And is there a highlight for you at this point, 40 plus years into the game?
Man, a highlight for me is I get out of bed, I touch every part of my body, and they're all working. That's a highlight for me. Okay. How's that sound?
Well, that's an honest answer. So, I mean, you know, now that you're rocking and you've been doing this so long, you're 70, I believe, till February, but you're 70 for a couple more months. So you must have many generations of fans that have followed you. I mean, there's the fans, there's their kids, maybe grandkids. You got all kinds of levels of fans, and you do a really clean show. So it's something that everybody can really enjoy. The whole, you know, it's family friendly.
Well, you know, rock in general, Larry, has grown up. Rock music, not rock and roll specifically, but rock is almost like the new jazz. I mean, once it started turning into rock from rock and roll, when Dylan and the Who and the Stones started to turn it into rock music and not just straight rock and roll, it took off. And it went not from a people 20 and under, it went from people 20 and older, and it's kept going. That's just rock in general. I'm not alone with other bands. We go see them and that are called classic rock, for lack of other titles for the band. They have a big majority of following. People say, well, what is that? What is the reason for that? And I'll say, John Lennon said it right. Rock and roll will never die. It won't. Too many people like it. Now let's take it a step farther. It will never die because there's too much money in it to let it die. Anything that's profitable is going to last.
Right.
So there you have it.
I come in last night about a half past ten. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in. Move it on over. Moving on over, rocking on over, moving on over.
do you think of rock music today when you put it on? Somebody who's been with four generations of music and hits. You listen to today's bands. Are you inspired or are you disappointed?
I don't know. Who are you talking about? Which bands? Are you talking about all of them in general?
You can't. Yeah, when you put the radio on nowadays, is there anything worth listening to out there? What are you listening to that you enjoy listening to nowadays?
I don't listen to the radio.
Ah.
I get a lot of static on it. You know, I used to listen to it when I was driving in a car, but I don't drive much anymore. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you this. I don't know what category she falls into, but just maybe a couple of years ago, I got turned on to the music of that woman from England who passed away, unfortunately. You know, rest in peace. She was really brilliant.
Amy Winehouse?
I can't say her last name. Is that her name? Is that
Amy
her name?
Winehouse? Amy Winehouse,
yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. I got some music by her, and I thought, I was a little late to the party with that artist.
Yeah, she's good. She was very good. Left us a lot of great music.
Beyond great. I mean, I never heard anything like that.
I want to go back to the new album, since that's what we're talking about, is Live in Boston 1982, the complete concert that's now out. First time on vinyl, and not only first time on vinyl, you decided to release it in red vinyl.
Well, again, that broad saying we, whatever venue they're using these days. First, it was albums, then it was eight tracks, then it was cassettes, then it was CDs. The whole thing keeps moving along with technology. The music stays the same, but technology changes. So I'm for whatever newfangled gadget they have for releasing the material, and it's hard for me to keep up with that. So those decisions were probably made directly through the record company.
Mm. Now you, in your
I'm a pretty boring guy, aren't I?
No, you're not boring at all. I mean, to anybody who's ever seen you in concert, you put on a great show. Now I wanted to know, you did 51 shows in 50 days once upon a time. Any plans of duplicating that once this pandemic clears?
I hope not. Hey, man, I ain't the person I was 40 years ago. I need a night off every now and again, partner.
What about the touring? You got that on the schedule for 2021, or you just kind of wait and see how this all washes out?
Oh, no, we always book, a good 6 months to a year in advance. And we had bookings all through this year, 2020, Larry, mm-hmm. But they had to be postponed. So they just shifted the entire program to next year.
Okay.
So we already have obligations that we were supposed to do this year, but we couldn't do it due to the pandemic. So we're not just waiting to say, okay, it's done. Let's book some gigs. No, the gigs are already booked, Larry.
Okay. And people that want to find where you're going to play, are you doing international shows, incidentally? Because we are broadcasting to an international audience. So
that's us. That's how you want to bill it. An international rock classic act.
There you go.
Thurgood and the Delaware Destroyers go international.
International.
I like that. That's good, man.
Go global. How about that?
Yeah,
let's
go
global.
Global. That's even shorter.
That's it.
Like they used to be the Globetrotters. We'll get the Globe Destroyers, you know what I mean?
I love it.
We have stuff lined up for Canada. We have stuff lined up for Europe, England, places like that. And then the following year, New Zealand and Australia. So I think we have something going on in Spain next year too. We have that going on. So, there's stuff happening, with us, every time I sit and turn around, I say, well, I guess that's it. And then a week later, the phone rings and says, oh, man, there's this really great casino. It's opening up in, nowhere or something. And I go, oh, man, I've been playing for 35 years, man. I still want you to play there. Okay, I'll do it. And then somebody gets wind of that and they go, well, he's going to play there. We got to come over here.
Wow.
All right. And then one thing leads to another. And I'm going, gee, this thing just won't go away.
Do you have any favorite places that you like to play?
All of them.
All of them. All of the above.
I don't go back.
Is there a place you haven't played that you want to play? Chances are you're being heard there right now. So,
I don't know where I've been heard, but I've never been. I've never played in. Never played in South America. I think that would be groovy.
Okay.
You know, I think that'd be a cool thing to do. Never played in Russia, although we did have an offer to play in Russia years ago. We were one of the first bands, this is before Elton John even did it. Right, I think it might have been around the time McCartney first did it. And we got asked to do that, and we had to pass on it for one reason or another. That might be interesting. But I've been thinking about South America for a long time. I don't know what the rock scene is down there. If we could get Steve Miller to go there, I could open for him. Maybe we could have something happen.
That Bob would be Seger fun. What a great like concert that would be.
That would be fun, yeah.
That would be awesome. All right. Well, you know, I mean, how are you handling the pandemic? I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you how this whole thing has affected George Thorogood's life.
Well, it's broken my heart. I mean, you know, thousands of people have died. Thousands of people have got sick. It's, I had an interview recently where someone said, well, how are you enjoying your time off? I said, enjoy. I'm not enjoying it. People are dying. I'm not enjoying this at all. I'm taking the most of the time off, but, it's a tragic thing. I mean, this is, like when there was, World War II was going on, it's been anything that hasn't hit this country since about that time, and, sitting all over the world. So I do what I can. I got tons of masks here. I try to get my temperature taken every day. I stay away from people. That's not a problem with me because nobody wants to hang around with me anyway.
Ah.
So that's not a problem. I'm set there. That's been my story my whole life. So, that's nothing I have to adapt to, believe me. It's affected me. It's affected all of us. I mean, look at all those people that passed away. I mean, some of those people that passed away, they might have had great stuff to offer the world. They could have been authors, or they could have been scientists, or maybe somebody who could have come up with the answer to cancer or something, So when there's many people being wiped out, it's affected me. I don't know about you. So,
yes. Well, 75 million cases and over 1.6 million deaths around the world. Yeah, it's definitely affected everybody in one way or another. And we're hoping for a light at the end of the tunnel sometime soon and get you back on the road and in concert. Now, if people want to get your new album, I know they can get it, online at most places like Amazon, iTunes, and things like that. How about your website? Could people get the Live in Boston 1982 album on your site?
They can get it anywhere.
All right. That's simple enough.
If they want it bad enough, they'll get it.
And what about social media? Do you do social media? Are you on Facebook and all that?
I don't know. What am I doing right now? Is this social media what we're doing right now? I mean, you're in the media, and we're being sociable, right?
That's
so
it.
Isn't
all
this
right.
Social media?
This is social media, then. There we go.
Okay.
Do you know what your website
is saying to me?
Do you have your website address? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. I don't.
Like georgethorogood.com or something.
Or something, yeah.
Something. They can search George Thorogood and they'll find you wherever. And you got a great plan for the year. You got a new album to start off, to end the year and begin the new year. How about resolutions? Any New Year's resolution for 2021?
Oh, man, I got resolutions every day of my life. I don't wait till New Year's. I'll wake up the next day and say, oh, man, I'll never eat that again. Oh, man. There's a resolution right there. I'll get out and say, oh, why in the hell did I get my hair cut? Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. There's a resolution. We all have resolutions. I got so many problems hitting me, Larry. I don't have to wait till New Year's. Okay.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, George. You sound great. And I as a big fan of, I played your music in the 80s in Detroit on the radio and have played it again around the world here on Voice of America. So I thank you for doing this for us and supporting VOA, supporting the troops as you do. And so thank you so much for being a guest on the program.
Larry London, rock and roll never sleeps. It just passes out.
That's it. Live in Boston, George Thorogood, 1982, The Complete Concert. That's the latest album. George Thorogood's been our guest, and this is Border Crossing.
I want to tell you a story about the house we're in blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went. So I goes to the landlady, I said, you let me slide, I have the rent for it tomorrow, the next day I don't know. So say, let me slide it on, you know, people. I notice when I come home in the evening, she ain't got nothing nice to say to me. But for 5 years, she was so nice. Lord, she would love a dove. I come home one particular evening. The landlady said, you got the rent money yet? I said, no. Can't find no job. Therefore, I ain't got no money to pay the rent. She said, I don't believe you're trying to find no job. Said, I seen you today. You were standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired, I've been walking all day. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't have a rent, and out the door I went. So I go down the street, down to my good friend's house. I said, look, man, I'm outdoors, you know. Can I stay with you maybe a couple days? He said, let me go and ask my wife. He come out of the house. I could see his face. I know there was no. He said, I don't know, man. She kind of funny, you know. I said, I know. Everybody funny. Now you for that, too. So I go back home. I tell the landlady, I got a job, I'm gonna pay the rent. She said, yeah. I said, oh yeah. And then she was so nice. Lord, she would love it, love it. So I go in my room, pack up my things, and I go. I slip on out the back door. Down the streets I go. She hollering about the front rent. She'll be lucky to get in the back rent. She ain't gonna get none of it. So I stop in a local bar, you know, people. I go to the bar. I rent my coat. I call the bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. You got down there. So what you want? A one bourbon, a one scotch, a one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I'm getting drunk, I'm feeling mellow. I'm drinking bourbon, I'm drinking scotch, I'm drinking beer. Look down the bar, here comes the bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. So what you want? I want bourbon. My baby since the night before last. Gotta get a drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gotta get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen?
listen right here. You know when your mouth is getting dry, you're plenty high. I look down the bar, I see to my bartender. I said, look mad, come down here. You got down there, so what you want this time? I said, look mad, what time is it? He said, the clock on the wall said 3 o'clock. My last call for alcohol. So what you need? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Oh, I ain't seen my baby since a night on a week. Gotta get drunk, man, so I can't even speak. Gonna get high, man, listen to me. One drink ain't enough, Jack, you better make it three. Gonna get drunk, I'm gonna make it real clear. Scotch, one beer, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
More music. Border Crossings.
please stop. You talk too much.
George Thorogood, and thank you so much for joining us on Border Crossings today. A pleasure to talk to you. The new album is Live in Boston, 1982. George Thorogood, Bad to the Bone, which was the name of an album, his biggest album with his biggest hit, although he's had quite a few other hits, Who Do You Love, and quite a few that he's amassed over the years. George Thorogood, one of my favorite rock stars that I grew up listening to in Detroit back in the 1980s, 1970s and 80s. And thank you, George Thorogood, for joining us today. Thank you so much for listening to Border Crossings. Don't forget, remember to wear your face mask, wash your hands, and maintain social distance whenever you leave your house so we can slow the spread of coronavirus. I want to thank Vincent Bonner, our producer, who put the show together today. Again, Merry Christmas to everybody, and thank you so much for listening to Border Crossings. We'll return with requests and dedications on Monday. Thank you so much. This is Border Crossings on the VOA Global English Network.